Top. Ketzad, short one. Ketzad, Davchov Tes Amid Beis. Ketzad Yesh V'Salek Mechsholos Merishus Har Rabin. We all have this every so often. We go on the street. We're on the street, and there is a bar in the Rishus Har Rabin. There's something there on.
To chase the women out of the street.
No. There is a... The Mechsholos. No. There's something in the street, okay? There's something on the sidewalk. So someone's going to get hurt. So you pick it up. Problem is, sometimes we pick it up, and we don't know what to do with it. Where are you going to put it? So we kick it to the side. When you kick it to the side, sometimes they can do more harm than good. Someone will later come along and walk on the side of the street and can get hurt. Who is the one now? If you have someone on the sidewalk and you don't want to, and let's say it's someone's a child's bike or it's a scooter or someone just left a baseball bat lying on the sidewalk and you're walking down the sidewalk.
The lawyer told me that legally it's better not to shovel the snow,
right?
Yeah,
because then it's a natural occurrence.
That's right.
But if you do shovel in someone's
once you
pool,
start, you got to finish.
Exactly, that's exactly what it's saying over here.
Once you start,
you now become responsible. And if you don't finish it all the way, so then you're responsible.
And you see a Coke bottle on the floor, and you pick it up, and you throw it into the garbage can, and that guy gets $100 ticket for not having it in recycling. It's
yours. That's another issue. The sugyan, let's see. A person, he rolls galal. Galal means waste. Animal waste. And you turn it over. The only time you're going to be responsible if you have kavanah to acquire it. So then it becomes your property. Let's say you do not want to acquire it, part of you are exempt. The Gemara concludes there where you turned it over less than three tefachim, so you never acquired it. Why you never acquired it? And you have to go making a long story short. The conclusion of the Gemara is going to the Rosh Shemigbia Gimel Tefachim. If a person there's a michshol in the street and you pick it up higher than three tefachim off the ground, a child's scooter is right on the sidewalk. If you pick it up more than three tefachim off the ground, well, that's not really a good example because he really owns it. You have to discuss, let's say, a branch from a tree. A branch from a tree is something which is hefker, you do not own, but if you pick it up, even though you do not have kavanah to acquire it, if you already pick it up three tefachim, it becomes legally yours. If you do not have kavanah to, even if you do have a kavanah to acquire it, even if it's not yours, even if it's less than three tefachim, you're going to be responsible. Okay, so now he elaborates. The first guy was that was not mafkir. That would be the second case. So if you pick it up more than three tefachim, where the first one was not mafkir, it's not your property, but you pick it up three tefachim, you automatically become responsible. It's not yours. You don't legally own it, but you become at least legally responsible by picking it up more than three tefachim, even though you do not become the owner of this object. You've done a significant action and you become legally responsible. You do not completely remove it to a new area and someone else gets hurt in that new location, you will be responsible. But tamadin shemegbiyah gimel tefachim nischayif hamagbiyah the person who put it down in the sidewalk, he's gone, he's out of here. So when you pick it up three tefachim, you now have done something significant where it's considered you to have taken over. We don't attribute this object any longer to the original person who put it here. When you pick it up three tefachim, it's a significant action. Now, b'shita mikubet says, "Hevi b'shem harashba." Sheim heviru l'makay ma'acher shloy. If you move something to a new location, you kick it. Beloy sheg bihoy gimel nischayev olav. If you move it to a different location, even though you did not pick it up three tefachim, that's also enough to be chayiv. Now, what does that mean? V'chazoynish nokat shadin shirak igbiya gimul tefachim chayiv haynu davka b'magbiyoy avul b'mazizoy mimakoymoy nischayiv v'lov gam b'pachos migimul tefachim. So what he's saying over here is as follows, that this idea of picking it up three tefachim is only going in a situation where you pick it up and you put it right back down.
Same place.
Same exact place. A child leaves his scooter on the sidewalk, and you come along and you pick it up, three tefachim, like you're doing a machzor shekel, and then you put it down in the exact same spot, b'diyuk, and someone comes along and trips, you are responsible, not the child. But it's in the same exact spot. It's exactly the same location where the child left. Why should I be responsible? That's what the Gemara is teaching us with the Chaznish and the Rosh, and is that if you pick it up, we no longer contribute this object to the child, and now you have taken over responsibility. By picking it up three tefachim. However, let's say you don't pick it up three tefachim, but you move it to a new location, you move it, even if you did not we lifted off the ground three tefachim, that's also significant for you to be responsible. Okay, these are the two yesodas. Now, lefi zeh, kol shemavir michshol mimakoymoy gimul tefachim. From this, we come away as follows. Bottom line: if you move something from its location three tefachim, af al pi shloy neschavin lezakoy spoil lechoira kol samas rishon v'nechshav boyroi shol zeh sheheziz also, you become responsible. There's an object in the street, and you give it a kick and you move it to the side, but you don't completely remove it. You don't completely remove it away from a place where someone can get hurt. And someone gets hurt, you are responsible, not the original person, even though it's not your property. You never had kavana to acquire it. You never picked it off the ground three tefachim. It doesn't matter. If you've changed location and the location has moved three tefachim, you are responsible.
It's a form of criminal negligence.
Yes, exactly. Now, the truth is, this, of course, has to be taken into consideration with Dina de Malchusa Dina. There's no doubt, I don't know, there are laws and regulations with regard to such situations, right? Like you just yourself mentioned, if you don't shovel. Yeah, what?
You sue the city.
Sue the city.
The rule is no good deed goes unpunished.
That's right, absolutely. So it's like a new bar. That's the bottom line, at least according to the laws of the Torah. And therefore, what's the bottom line? He just repeats what we just said. A person should be very careful when he sees a takala b'rishus harabim, sheyisalkol l'makoyim, completely remove it from the street. L'makoyim shelo yavo lidei nezer, just moving it to the side is not necessarily enough. If you have a danger, you just move it to the side of the road, now you become responsible. Even though the side of the road, it's less likely someone will get hurt, you never know.
So in other words, if you see a broken bottle in the middle of the street, don't just move it to the curb.
You got to completely. That's exactly what that the bottom line is.
Even if you're putting the same thought, you're assuming responsibility for the negligence.
If you live in the same location, what were you saying? Which case?
Even if you put it back in the same spot,
then you're also responsible.
Because you're assuming the responsibility.
Because you acquired it, yes. By picking it up three tefachim off the ground, even if you then put it back exactly where it was, you now become responsible.
What do you do on Shabbos?
So on Shabbos, it's a very tough question. Shabbos, you really, if it's a real danger, you have to move it less than four tefachim. Less than four tefachim. Dalet amos, what?
Four amos.
Pachos mi dalet amos. You move it in stages. You move it, you wait 10 seconds.
What do you do?
Nothing. You just move it to the side. You can, and that's right, so you don't, but you move it to the side. A person, let's say a person...
He's still responsible.
So you move it to the side in a
look. The scooter, what you do is you push it under a car's front wheel.
Right.
On Shabbos, you have to move it pachos, midalid amos. Move it more than dalid amos to a location that is 100% safe. And the only safe location is indoors, so you bring it indoors kila achar yat. This is the classic question. If you have a child that's in the street and is crying, and the child does not stop crying, the child demands that he be carried. So what do you do with the child? So you carry the child home. Pachos, pachos, midal, didamos. That's what you do. If you have a wallet, you're walking in the street and you realize your wallet's in your pocket. And you're not going to let your wallet, and you will not just drop your wallet in the street. You're not willing to go and spend the next 3 weeks online at the DMV and this office and that office replacing all of your cards. So what do you do? Well, identity theft. So you basically walk pachos pachos midal ramas. When you get into the rishus hayachid, you throw it into your home kila achar yat, in a backwards manner, in some unusual shinu, an unusual way to bring it into a safe location. Okay, let's
Is there a minimum amount of moving?
A minimum of what?
In other words, if I move it, you start to move the bike. Someone moved it an inch.
Three tefachim. Yeah, there is a minimum. It says three tefachim. Three tefachim is not very much. Tefach is four fingers. So it's about a foot, less than a foot even. Three quarters of a foot. Three quarters of a foot, then you become... Now that may be true according to halacha. According to a New York City law, New York State law, maybe there's a federal law, I doubt it, but if there is some city law, then... That may very well override the halacha. No, you're responsible. No, it doesn't matter. If the bottom one is the amount of space, it's not the same location from where we originally started, it's more than three tefachim, you become fully responsible for any harm that comes its way. Okay, let's go. Let's now jump to the bottom where it says Limud Hilchos Berachos. Okay, let's skip down to Limud Hilchos Berachos.
This is today's daf.
Today's daf. Daf Lamed. Hi man, the boy lemevi chaside yikayim milud berachos. The Gemara person wants to be a chosid. You should be oisek in the laws of berachos. Be Rabbeinu Chananel Be'er Shahainu Sheyikayi Mash Amu Also Lehonos Min Olam Hazeh B'loi Bracha. It says in Chazal, a person may not derive benefit from this world unless he makes a bracha. And if you want to be a chosid, you want to be a chosid, a pious person, that's what you should do. Al hamayla v'achashivas b'yidias, it's always kedai to review the laws of brachas. Al hamayla v'achashivas b'yidias hilchas brachas, nema besech brachas, mishamchei rabbonin ez rav zvid, the adam gadol hu ubokei b'brachas. He received high praise because he was bokei brachas, mishamashu mikach shabikias b'brachas, u'inyin v'achashivas gadol. Chazal did not give praise very often. They didn't just flatter people. If they gave a person praise, it was for good reason, and therefore in the few places in Chazal where we find a person received shevach was in regard to the laws of brachas. Bishut ginas veradim. Chazal didactic shehoi roi loimar mandem ikayim milid brachas. Havi chasidim v'chim kulam. It should say the expression seems to be not grammatically correct. It should say man de mekaye mil de brachas have chasida. Yet Chazal say man de bohil in the have chasida yikayim. So why do we order it in this fashion? So he explains as follows: a beer shakavanasalo hidienu shehize bimili de brachas kedaihu that being zohir shehize bimili kedaihu lo sheyie chasid ba'avur zehiruso zos. The time of Kiddushah Taisis Sheguf Adam Nene Mehamachol, the Godal Mimenu, a person derives benefit. V'kevon on Shloim Nene Min Oilam Beloy Bracha Elo Hoya Zol Lavarich Bracha Hamiuchenes Laosa Davar Hine Gufo Miskadesh Umisale V'Tivoy Me Olav, and his nature is Me'elav automatically Yirdof Liyira Es Hashem. If everything that enters your body, every nutrient that enters your body that is used to develop, to cause you to be healthy, was first pronounced upon it, that means your entire existence is built upon bracha. This person should be careful to make sure that before you bring anything into your body, you should everything in your body, you should make the proper bracha. So he seems to be saying over here is, that's why it says man the boy lemahavi chasida. A person wants to be a person's, if you want that your DNA, your existence should be a pious existence, then make the brachas. Not the word did not say if you that a person that's mekayim brachas, you become a chassid. You're a chassid. It's much deeper than that. If you want your whole existence, your whole kiyum, your whole existence should be from a source of bracha, then before you put something in your mouth, you should make a bracha. And I just think the order means it adds more depth. If your entire life is all the nutrients of your body came into yourself because you first made a bracha, that has a whole different meaning. A person that's not mekayim mil de brachos, you're not called the chassid. Avol rasha gam loy nikur. Now, what's the converse? If a person is not a baki in the halachas and he does not make him into a rasha, hikshah shahaloi mevur b'masech the brachas shemish ena mevarich alav amir mevarich alav, the person that make a bracha alav ksev chever hu leish mashchis ulchein biyer shakvanas chasadif. We have a problem because over here the Gemara seems to be saying that it's icing on the cake. It's icing on the cake to be medactic in the laws of brachas, but if you're not medactic in the laws of brachas, no big deal. So you're not called a chassid. Not everyone likes to be a chassid. Some want to be litvaks. So it's no big deal. So, but it's a kasha because it says in the Gemara that a person is not mechanim mil brachas. He's called an ish mashches. So, what's going on? Lachin biyer shakavanas hakazal loy masher roitz elios chassid lo yismech ala klal shekol davar shabirach alav shahakol yatsa ela yilman mil de brachas lavarach kol min ha brachas shashayach lo v'kotav shem k'svi arizal shapoy datsam bruch shahakol yariz v'chal bur shekilulu chazal. So, what he explains to me over here is we're not dealing with a person that doesn't make a bracha at all. Of course, we're dealing with a person that always makes a bracha. But what he does is he makes a shahakoil on everything that he eats. I don't know the bracha. Do you make ha'eitz? Do you make ha'adama? Do you make a mezoinos? So you know what? I'll just recite the catch-all bracha. The catch-all bracha is shahakol nihiya bidvaro. If a person does that, he's definitely not a rasha. He's a good man. He's not a, because he made a bracha. He at least made a bracha. However, you can't say that he's a chassid. Because a chassid is meticulous. He's meticulous to recite the correct bracha.
Rabbi Yehuda says to make a bracha on every separate fruit, a separate bracha.
Every separate thing, its own bracha.
Like that.
The Sfaradim are very into this is that they go and have a suda where they make multiple brachas. You sit down by a suda and you make a bracha on every single time. You have a mezoinas and a shahakol and a bar pro'etz, a bar pri'adama, and they make a bracha on every single minute in order to be ma'ar brachas by doing that, having a suda where you make multiple brachas. You're being mekayim here according to this interpretation. Man the boy lemehave chasida. There are such things. I know the people the chagim, like I said, Sfaradim, the very they do this. They have like a snack.
The risk is every day sit down. Let's go wash first.
Go wash, and that's it. One bracha. But Sfaradim, they have a lunch break. I know somewhere where they have there's an office where they have a lot of Sfaradim. They have a lunch break, and they're very makbid. They have at the lunch break all the various types of foods where you can make a bracha, every single type of bracha. What we've just read from the Eli Rabba, what they're in essence doing is that the Mekayim, what it says in the Gemara, man the boy the mehavi chasida, to use it as an opportunity to. Answering amen to all the various types of foods, brachas. Sushi has three brachas. Sushi is the only food in the modern world that I'm aware of. Only popular, you make three brachas on sushi. Isn't that amazing? You make on the rice, it's mezoinos. On the fish, it's shahakol. And on the vegetables, it's ha'adama. And even if you have a vegetable sushi, somehow you have to also make a shahakol on the seaweed. So a bari nefashos. If there's no shear, you will not make a bari nefashos. But a bracha rishon, even one grain, one piece of rice, you have to make a bari minei mezonos. So it's right. Sushi, it's a very big mila. I know there are people that complain that you're not allowed to eat sushi bizman hazeh because it's a goyish food. But on the other hand, sushi has a very great mila. It's a very great mila in sushi. You have an opportunity to make three Barachas. Try to show me another food where you have an opportunity to make on it. What? Mizonas. First, mizonas, then eschadam, then eschahakal. You eat it in one shot. Unless you want to pick it apart and you start eating a piece, piece inside.
So you eat it, you have to make three brachas and then eat.
Yeah. Three brachas in a row. Three brachas in a row. What? No, no. If you want to eat it in one shot, that's derech achila. You take out the chopsticks, right? The derech achila is three brachas.
Fish.
No, but you make a shako. The mizonos, the matzah. Lots of meal in fish is a binder. You're saying good. You should be, no, that you make two brachas. Hey, on a crack, you make a mizonos and a shakal. Two separate things being put together. Two separate things. Onion, no, the onion is a tofu. The onion is not significant. I do not believe you make a bracha if you have in the herring onions, you don't make a bracha on the onions. You don't, yeah, it's not significant. But if you have, but that's right. So if you have an olive, that'll be significant. But when it comes to sushi, each one of these strings is significant. I believe. Yes, of course. Mizonos, hadama. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the vegetable sushi, you have to be mindful, is the vegetable sushi. Some people don't like the fish, but they like the, you know what I'm talking about? They have vegetable. Just vegetable, so there's seaweed. It's wrapped in seaweed. So that you have to be ma'ayin. No, that's a very big shayla. Some hold you still should make. I heard this is shayla. If you make even a shahakol even on that, that's also significant. It's not wood. No, you don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha. But seaweed is not, it's a food. They use the seaweed to wrap the vegetables. If you have fish, you got no problem. You make a shako. What? Where?
Vietnam.
To get the seaweed.
The seaweed or the paper wrap. They went
what do you mean the paper? What paper wrap?
Inside is like a paper wrap.
Right.
A paper wrap? You eat it and eat it?
Yeah.
Yes.
But anyway,
it's like a binder.
They went to Vietnam, they had to send mashgiach to Vietnam.
To Vietnam to get to make sure it's kosher.
But Robert, how come sometimes the food has two parts to it? Like chocolate covered raisins.
When it's mixed together, when it's noticeable. When it's noticeable and you can notice it, then each one gets its own bracha. But when it's all like, it's like it turns into a cake, a mush, it's all dissolved, then you make the bracha on the ikar.
On the ikar. Like the chocolate better or the raisins better?
Doesn't matter. So that's a shayla in the Mishnah Berurah. This machlekes ha'poskim. The general consensus is you make a mizonos first, even if you like the shahakol. Even if you like the shahakol, you'll still make the mizonos first.
Soup would take multiple brachas before you put
it. Yes, it depends on the soup. If you have soup where you can see the barley and so like that, barley soup. You'll make a mizonos in the barley and a shakal on the soup. Yes.
Yeah, vegetable,
you make adama. But if the vegetable soup, it's like a thick, it's like a porridge. If it's a thick vegetable soup, then you just make one broth, you make adama. Chalon. So it depends on the type of chalon. You have chalon, then you can see the potatoes are separate and the meat is separate. But if it's all mixed together, then you don't really have that. Then you're right, you make different brachas. If you can see each item by alone, you make separate brachas on each item separately. Right. You make.
Does it have to be on the spoon? Does the adama and the shakal have to be in?
Yes. If you want to make two separate brachas, then you can take each one separately first. Even though you're gonna have something on the other one, it doesn't matter. If you want to make it two separate brachas, first eat you want the potato. And then you want to take some of the soup. If you have like a light potato, so you want to take a potato. Then you want to have some of the liquid. Of course, it's real liquid. It's not a porridge. A porridge type of liquid. Then you don't make a shak. That would be tough to the potatoes. Okay, it all depends. There are a lot of variables which I'm not clear. I'm not 100% clear. So I better not say what I don't know. Okay, let's go to the next. Continue. Should bear hey shek chasav shachasid in mivare chutz lizmano yichutz another element, another day. Why it's called the chasid? Another translation of the word chasid. In time of the Gemara, there was no difference between chasidim and misnagdim. didn't exist until the time of Shabtai Tzvi. After Shabtai Tzvi is when that movement, the Hasidic Bel Al Shem Tov, first came to exist. But when Moyus Chos, that means a person that's meticulous in halacha. Beshut be'erhei be'eish be'eisek chosav shachosin be'erech chutz lizmanay or chutz l'mekaymay v'chein einoch inoch l'kula be'oymos sabroch l'hakel elaharehu eisel l'fnim b'shur sadin mechavin al davar kuroi. In order to be called a chos with regard to brachos, it does not mean you don't make brachos. That's called rasha. Ishmash is a means to be meticulous. Being meticulous means the right zman and the right location. After a certain period of time, you can no longer make a bracha. Time expires. If you eat a snack, and let's say a half an hour play passes, and you're now hungry once again, according to many opinions, you can't make a bari nefashos because it's too late. And it'll be the avid. You can make it until 72 minutes, but once already you're getting past the zman, you have a small snack, a small little snack, and you're ready. It's a half an hour past the zman. You now are in a very difficult halachic situation. Can you make a bracha achroinus? Some say yes, some say not. So a chassid is a person that is extremely careful that he should never come to such a situation. If you eat and make a bracha in this room and you go to the back room, can you make a bari nefashos? Not so simple. It depends what you ate, and there depends what your kavana was. So all of these situations, there are many different halachas, and sometimes the halacha is not clear, and you're putting yourself in a difficult situation. A chassid is a person that will never allow himself to come to such a situation. I remember my friend on a tape, he once said that he once in Neri Yisrael, he went to Baltimore, he ate lunch, and he came home for lunch. He was giving shiur. In the morning he came home for lunch, and he ate lunch, he washed, and then he went back to yeshiva for second seder. And then when he was back in yeshiva, it was a boiling hot day, and he walked to yeshiva from where he lived. I don't know if you're not familiar with territory in Neri Yisrael. And then when he got to yeshiva, he remembered that he forgot to bench. So he walked home in the sweltering heat back home. I opened up the door. He was schwitzing, and his daughter. He has three daughters. I know one of his daughters married someone I know, and he had said he had three young daughters at home at that time, and they saw him walk in all verschwitzt, and they said, "Dad, whatever they call him, what are you doing back here?" He says, "I forgot to bench. I came back because I just remembered I walked yeshiva," and he says their jaw dropped. And he described that all the mussar and all the hadracha that he could have given his daughters, nothing came to that moment when they saw how that the halacha is, if you forget to bench, you have to go back to the location where you...
The halacha is not like
only on kavana. No, that's only.
Like his base elevation.
Only if your kavana was
said.
Kavana is you going. If you go to a new location and you eat there, and you had kavana lechatchila to do so, but if you have hesach hadas, you're not eating anymore, and you had no kavana to eat a new location, I believe the halacha is you have to go back.
Yeah.
You have to go back if you did not have kavana. No, if you're mesiach das, once you mesiach das, you're not allowed. You have to make a new hamaitzi. You have to wash again and make a new hamaitzi. You don't have to bench. So he said, I remember how, you know, only my friend, how he explains it, he has the koyach hadibor. He has the koyach hadibor. He says that the impression that he made upon his children, the halacha, that if you eat and you go away and you make a mistake, you have to come back. And we walk back in the sweltering heat in the Mekai of the Mitzvah. That was the ultimate chinuch. Chinuch by example, not by preaching.
Could he have done something when he got to the yeshiva?
Yeah.
Could he have done something?
Can he have eaten? Can he have eaten?
Eat something?
I don't think so, because he did not have kavana. Technically, what he could have done is, if I'm not mistaken, he would have to wash again in yeshiva, make another birchas hamotzi, eat a piece of bread, and now bench, and the benching he does will
credit for
before. And even that is not so simple. The ideal thing to do, it could be on the tape he explained all the different halacha, I don't remember all the details, but the ideal thing to do is, since, because the problem is when you, there's a halacha that when you eat, if you have kavana originally, when you begin your meal, that you're going to eat the meal, you continue eating the meal somewhere else, then it's a whole different story. But if you don't have that kavana, then you've been in a very difficult situation. But let's go further. Kiyotze b'zeh, the next paragraph, Kasa Baruch HaShulchan, Shanira L'Levar, Shachasid, Oysa, Lefnim, Yishadin, Shrei Hilchas, Baruch HaStifzak, B'Savik, Baruch HaSlahakel. V'yachasid, Moitzi, Asasim, Midei, Kula, Zukon, Shasavik, Atzoi, Berich, Bari Nefosh, Shalo. What happens if you do not know if you made a Bari Nefosh? So, Safik, Baruch HaSlahakel. A Chasid, goes shahalachim shein itzach mivarech misafik achas oichel oishes oide zedavar mivarech bori nefashas. So a chasid will make another bracha, something else in order to make a bori nefashas. V'chein kasheish safik who in mivarechin eitz hadama mivarechin hadama. So if you have a safik on a certain type of food, is it eitz hadama? So b'diyev you can make hadama, but achas oichel oishnei dvarim shivuchas in the vaday. If you do not know, it's very common, you have a cup of coffee. Okay, this is a very, very big problem. If you have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, if you drink the cup of tea between 2 to 9 minutes, do you make a borei nefashos? So it's not so simple. You have to drink a maloy lugma, you have to drink a revius. Let's say you drink it so slowly that it's more than 9 minutes. So then for sure, you do not make a borei nefosh. If you're sitting with a hot...
It depends how hot it is. I can't drink it within that time frame.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
You heard the thing? I don't think so. I don't know. We have to brush up. I don't think so. When more often than not, you have a cup of coffee. First of all, there's machlokes. What is kedush shir b'chdei achilas pras between 2 to 9 minutes? So that means once it's more than 2 minutes, technically, I can still make a borei nefashos according to the Man d'Amar, according to the shita that says you have until 9 minutes. But according to the opinion that says 2 minutes. 2 minutes, you can no longer make a borei nefashos. So it's very common that people will not make a borei nefashos on a cup of coffee. 99% of the population that I know, I see, does not make a borei nefashos because of suffix. The average cup of coffee is hot. It takes 2 minutes to drink down a maloy lugma. So it's past 2 minutes. The problem is, you know, after you drink that little amount, then you drink the rest very quickly. And that part, they have a big cup of coffee, that part is... Okay, so yeah, you have to look at every situation. But many, many people, myself included, are in the habit of never making a borei nefashos on a hot cup of coffee, because that's how you were trained when you were a child, that if you drink something very slowly, past the time span of 2 minutes, you can't make a borei nefashos. But the truth is, in many scenarios, you're chayv in a bracha. Because many times it's not that cold, it's not that hot, and you do drink. It's not so much to drink. It's not so much to drink a roiv revius. To drink a revius, a roiv of the shiur is a roiv revius. It's not so much to drink. It's not so much to drink it. And even if in the beginning you start very slow, eventually the coffee cools down. It cools down, and you drink a whole shot. You drink a whole section, one quick shot. So you will be chayv. So this is what the Aruch HaShulchan is explaining. A person wants to be a chassid. A chassid is a person who is meticulous in inyane brachas. If you're not meticulous, it's okay. No one's going to say anything bad about you. It's not going to ruin the shidduch resume. It's okay, but it's not going to make you into a chassid. That's what it says.
It's still tough.
The brachas, maybe it used to be like that, but not today. Today's the other way around. Today, the chassan looks at the parents. Let me see how you make the brachas.
Oilam Hafuch. Glass of water we make.
Of course, you make a shahakal in the body. You only go provided you drink for thirst. For thirst. If you're taking water for medication, the doctor says do not drink, take the pill on an empty stomach and you're not thirsty and there's no flavor.
Water for health purposes.
No. If it's not for thirst, you do not 8 cups of water. Doctor says 8 cups of water.
Yeah, you have to drink a liter of water.
And it's torture to drink down the 8 cups of water. You do not make a bar, you do not. If it's you do not make a shahakal. You do not make a shahakal. If it's flavored
or thirsty when I'm drinking for another reason.
What?
I cannot define for myself when I'm thirsty.
It's a problem. So that's a very so then they have it's flavored. If it's flavored, if it's flavored, so add some flavoring into the water, then you for sure make a bracha, even if you're not thirsty. Even if you're not thirsty, you can make a bracha if it's flavored. Let's look at the next paragraph. Another inyan of bracha. People, they just they mumble the brachas. I always tell you the story that made an impression in my mind from Rav Avigdor Miller. Avigdor Miller was a Rebbe in Chaim Berlin, and the story is that he saw a boy go over to the water fountain, he said a bracha, and he took a sip of water. He calls over the water, he says, I want you to make another bracha. And if you're concerned that it's a bracha levatala because you made a bracha, it's on me. Don't worry. I have no doubt. You may have sakis if you're making a bracha levatala. I watched you make that bracha. I watched you make that bracha on the water fountain. Don't worry. It's on me. You make another bracha. And the truth is, I mean, think about that. We live through that story every single day, 100 times a day. We make bracha. And did I really make the bracha? So, I'm not going to make another bracha. But someone watching us make those brachas would probably say to us, don't worry, it's on me. You can make another bracha. You can make another Asher Yotzar, another bracha. You know what? You can daven Shimon Esrei again also. Unfortunately, it's come to that. Oid kasaf mahalich meisibir gabor sheish lechoshes shlishin zapoiskim shein yochel levarich a bracha shiruch shachar kishloin nischai bohem. Okay, there's another inyan of man the boy lemahavi mila de chasida. Now this is a very interesting idea that a person should not make the birchas shachar until he actually derive pleasure from all of the things that are part of the birchas shachar. Kigoin shleilovash leichag. A person did not get put on his shirt. So you can't make a bracha oiter malbish harumim, or you did not close your belt oiter Yisrael b'sifara ole shoma kol tarnagol. And that's a real chumrah. Living in the city, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to get away with that one. That you're not going to make a bracha shenosam lasech vivin lahaf miyum veloila. So if you want to be a chassid, you're not going to make this bracha until you actually hear a kol tarnagol. Of lasech vino meyoyz ketoiv al tigam el chaviatzim el bapoli de luli mam shdechiyev kashe biemes kinu agur ham achas shleimim vichin ram at tiki shol kamoi bidikas chametz kos rama sheyesh manichem. Another example here. Here's another example of man the chasida. We put out 10 pieces. Why do we put out 10 pieces of chametz before we make the bracha? It should not be a bracha levatola because it's unlikely we're going to have any chametz. So therefore, that's an in. It's a hiddur in the inyan of bracha. Manichin petite chametz mokem sheyimtzayim lahabaydek viav sherushai beloy zelvakim kamokoyim. But a person lahaviyasma luchi bracha oisa. A person does a zekaros chazal di boilam have the lavi chasid lekainu the brachas. It means all of these chumers. Haynu sheyase chonyonim hamachayim habrachas. Ein beradak shekosel pasuk vachasidcha yivorchucha ki kol loshen chesed hu yisroin hadavar. Chesed, a chosid is a person that does lifnin mishuras hadin. Van misboininim tamid b'masel kol yisparach vivarchuhu tamid b'chol eis hisboininim heim hachasod. I think chasidim heim hachasidim. These are the chasidim. People will say Baruch Hashem, Baruch, how are you, Baruch Hashem. That according to the Radak is a fulfillment of what it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, "Vachasidcha yivorchucha l'man deboy lemahave chasida yikayim milei debrachas." The Radak's interpretation is everything that happens in this world, if you say concerning the event Baruch Hashem, that's what Chazal means. So when people walk around the whole day saying Baruch Hashem, it's according to the Radak, they are fulfilling what it says in today's daf. Man the boy lemahave chasido yikale milid brachos does not mean Baruch Atah Hashem kemel cholam shakol niyeh bevaro. It means you say Baruch Hashem. Ramei Azal, hayvad b'dom chasido yikale milid brachos. What?
I guess Hashem,
you didn't answer the question. Okay, that's another issue. That's you didn't answer. That is also an answer. That is an answer. The answer is, I'm not doing too well. That's really what it means. If someone says, doesn't say a fine word, it means, I'm still around. Things can be better. And I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. Chaste Hashem, I'm not complaining. It's like the matzik of es hadin. That's really what it means. Many people, everyone knows, you see, it's all right. That's really what it means. Not everyone, and not everyone's life is rosy. You just say,
Baruch Hashem, I don't feel so good.
Okay, that also, but you don't say, don't feel good, but you're saying, okay, listen, I'm not complaining. I have, Hashem gave me what I need. There are people, every single person out there can look around and can see hundreds, if not thousands of people, millions of people that are less fortunate than him. So with all of the problems, there are people that have, a lot less than what we have. Okay, let's do one more topic very quickly. I like this topic very much. It's a little bit late, but let's just do it very quickly, just a little bit. This is a hot topic. I really want to spend more time on this, but this is a very hot topic. Hezik b'derech latzolas nefashas. Are you allowed to cause a person harm in order to save someone's life? In other words, the only way I'm going to save someone's life is by No, hezek. Let's not go so extreme. Hezek, you're going to this. Let's say someone's trapped in a car. So the only way you're able to go and save the person in the car is smash the windows. There's a baby, a child in the car, and you got to save the child, baby. So in the process of doing so, that's an extreme case. You're going to save a person's life in that case. The baby is trapped in a hot car. Smash the windows. You know, you just smash the windows. The guy's going to have to pay $300 to have new windows replaced. Of course you're allowed to do it, but what's the lum? There are cases that's not so clear.
The question is, do you have to pay for it?
You have to pay, you got to pay for it, right. A person runs in the Rishus HaRabim, and in the process of running, he causes damage. It's irresponsible. Be careful. Erev Shabbos, watch out. If someone is running in the street of Erev Shabbos, and they run over you, they are going to be exempt because Erev Shabbos you're allowed to run over someone. The Davka B'Stam, the Gemara says, Sha'anu Tarlam Sharas Litzarchan Lashar Shabbos. Aval Midush, Sha'ina Rats Lashar Chafetzaf. You're running for other reasons. Vlashach B'Tzarch Shabbos, Chayim Kuma B'Chol.
The option
of
Maramu. Speed,
Erev Shabbos? No, obviously you're not allowed to. But you know what it just the Gemara means. Take it with a grain of salt. You know what it means. It means in a Torah society where the running is not an irresponsible form of running, it's just a little bit more than usual. And you cause someone harm by accident. So Erev Shabbos, you're not responsible because Erev Shabbos is expected. People are in a different frame of mind. Af Shabbos Gemara Bein Hashmoshes. The Gemara over here says, even though it says Bein Hashmoshes, which means that you're giving a very small window to run. It's only for a few minutes. Mikol Machum Katzim Harazurua Shehu Lav Davka V'Rak Bo L'Chadish Afilu Bein Hashmoshes. Shefa Osav Hechano. It means even Bein Hashmoshes. You already done. V'Hechum Lach Mikol Machum Yochal Lomar Shuatz Kedei. Lemar Isar to Meir Aftem, you allowed to go make the last minute preparations. Or Lurcha, it's part of the beginning of Raglan, but Loyal Hakla, Begot of the Chavish Shabbos. Ulam Yesha, so I'm Shemashah Ben Ashmashah, Shahina Bidafka, Shrak, also the Mumar of Bohol, only the very, very last moment on the way to Shulm Boyd, with the Yamshal Shloimo, Kosav Shimbor, Lolan, Shabbat, and Tzorch Shabbos, Afilu Mitchilas, Ashua Potter, a tremendous Chiddish, even Sunday morning, a person runs you over. Why do you run me over? Sunday morning, I'm getting ready. Hayoyim yoyim, Rishon b'Shabbos. I just finished davening and I'm making my achanis. That's also an excuse. V'nei b'mor chai kosef shadavku l'gabe Shabbos. Shemein hashmoshos ain lo shuhu. So mamar moed bottom. Yeah, that's what it means. It means you're hitting a Jew. One of the big poskim of the Rishonim, he says, only when it comes to Shabbos, you have this halacha. This exemption does not apply to any other mitzvah whatsoever. Shlavana. So the person who went out to Kiddush Levana, he got, oh, there's a minion. I won. The Gabbai made an announcement, Kiddush Levana. So the person in Shloh, I got to run right away because I want a minion. I want to say with a minion. No one's going to be around to say Shalom Aleichem if I don't go run right away. And in the process, he ran.
No, it's the other way around. The
Gabbai
was running around.
The Gabbai was running?
Yeah, the Gabbai was running.
The Tava, Levi was the Gabbai, and now the Gabbai...
Reuven was the
Gabbai. Reuven rots l'kol ha-shamesh. Hamachmiz b'ruchav. So Reuven was running with Kishlevana. He went and he knocked down some expensive utensils of Levi. And he passes like the Mordechai, the excuse of Rots Ladvar Mitzvah's part is only when it comes to Shabbos. Shadavka Be'er of Shabbos has man dochel karbe potu es samazik ve'oid shemitzvah kiddush levon yochel lekaimu biyochel achakach. It's a nice thing to do kiddush levon lebran, but it's not an essential. Achach chumekein ein lumad rots lebes haknesas mirots mi'ir Be'er of Shabbos shu potter. However, Purim, Purim is mitoch simch. Very good, very good. So that might be another exception. Let's just see quickly. If a person was running a shanois, or to buy a shanois, or a person was running to see a sefer Torah, imchayev minchas pitim, don alirotz michshas shiavetz manatzfila v'ayin berhalacha, shadon binetzei rotz berishusim nema berishusim nem b'chol mitzvahs irak rotz berav shab. So exactly, so it's not so simple. Even the Mordechai Paskin is only Shabbos, and the Chavisiyah who rubber stamps the Pesach Halacha. So you see from the Mishnah Berurah, not necessarily there are some grounds to be made when it comes to others as well. Berach Hashulchan Kosta B'Shem Chavisiyah Shishma Shomru Chazal B'Sugin Sharotz Be'er Shabbos Tafka Nikur Rotz the Brishus Ein Luma Mushakom Yitzharotz the Bar Mitzvah Arbeiz the Brishus Sherak Erev Shabbos Shazman Bohol Avol Shom Mitzos Arach Shom Mitzrotz Mikol Marim Loritz Kol Kach Hachiyatz Kos Chaberoy Vav Mikol Marim Kosta Berach Hashulchan Miru Lishem Rotz Tlingin Pikuach Nefesh. Here's what we wanted to get to. Let's say you're running in order Hatzalah. Okay, talk about Hatzalah. What about the, I don't know, I'm sure there are laws with the police department, the fire department. There must be some laws that there's any special leeway that they have if they get into an accident.
They have to stay
at the scene of the accident. But what about liability? What are the degrees? Are the degrees of liability for the police and the fire department the same as for an average citizen? I don't know.
Is this American law?
What's Samaritan law?
I said,
what about the police, the fire department, the city law? If they get into an accident,
fire department takes precedence over the police. A mail truck takes precedence over the fire department because it's federal, state, and city who has more authority to get into an accident. That's the law.
Mail truck.
What?
Yes.
Right. No, but I'm asking a question. Damages. Are the degree of responsibility? Let's say both.
A mailman.
No.
Not necessarily. I don't know. Okay, but whatever the case is, Hatzalah. So here, talk about in Jewish law, so he writes, so here is an exception, even though there's a disagreement. If we apply this to other mitzvahs, when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, this appears to be an exception, you're exempt. So what did he pass in the Shemir Levi? If Rosen and Maisa Kosal Piam of War, Bishulchan Arach, Shechat, Sheroidifach, Haredif, Sherozal Argus Haveroi, Potter Minizokin. Okay, dealing with a Rotseach. If a person is a Pharisee, if a person is a Roideif, and you are trying to save the victim from the Roideif, the Nirdof, and in the process you cause damage. Sheroidifach, Haredif, Sheroidzal Argus Haver, Potter Minizokin, Mishum Shem, Einat, Oimer, Kain, Einloch, Odom, Shematos, Haver, Minarid, Dinachne, if you're going to be Chayav, then no one's going to want to go save people from the Roideif. The Alkain, Potu, Oisagam, Alanizak, Shkalim, Shulkalodam. In Kain, Rav Rosen says a very Chiddish, Yesh, Loima, Shuladin, Bechevre, Hatzala. Again, this is Jewish law. Okay, don't get involved now in in dealing the Malchusa, he doesn't want to analyze this from a Torah perspective. You have to go very quick. If you're going to tell the Atzola members that you are fully responsible for liability if you get into an accident, and they're going to repossess your house, and you're going to be an Oni and Evian for the rest of your life, if you get into an accident, you know what? I won't be an Atzola member. I won't be an Atzola member. The same exact so that Rav Moshe says that you let it come back on Shabbos. Atzola members, they go on a call. So once they save a person's life, what gave you the right to come back home for Shabbos? You took a person to Manhattan. There are plenty of Atzola members. Dime a dozen. There are plenty of people that are available on Derech HaTeva. They have statistics. How many Atzola calls are on Shabbos? How many Atzola members are available? They don't need you to come back from Manhattan for Shabbos. So you can stay in the hospital, in the lounge, and eat a delicious meal provided by the Satmar Dika Choylem. Stay there for Shabbos. So if you tell this to the average person, the average Alman, they'll say, you know what, Hatzol is a very nice cause, I'll send in a donation, but I don't think I'm going to sign up as a member of Hatzolah. If I'm going to have to go and lose my entire Shabbos, it's just not for me. So if Moshe says, based upon this very argument, Hatzolah members are allowed to come back on Shabbos. Because you look at the big picture. The big picture is, if you're not going to let them come back on Shabbos, they're not going to go l'chatchila on the call. So it's all part of the category of going on being matzal nefashas. And therefore, you're allowed to come back, you're allowed to park your car in your driveway, you're allowed to turn off the engine, you can do everything as if it was a regular weekday in order to go and be matzal nefashas. So what was the saying? The same exact story when it comes to liability on an atzala call. If you go and tell a person, let's take away insurance, now let's put it all aside now, from a pure perspective of just Torah law, without the Nemal Chusin, without insurance complications, if you know in advance that if you get into an accident they're going to repossess your house and you're going to be a pauper for the rest of your life, you know what, I'm not going to be an Atzala. I don't need to take the risk.
If it's obvious negligence,
that's different. We're not dealing with obvious negligence. We're dealing over here where it's not obvious, where it's an accident and it happens. You're going very quickly, you have a siren. I know whenever I'm in the car and I hear a siren, I'm always like where is the siren coming from?
Right.
Over here, over there, back, forward, and then I move over to the side, and then you move to the side, someone else. It's always a state of confusion. So it happens. It could these things happen. If you know this, you're going to be responsible. You're not going to want to be an Atzala member. So therefore, that svara allows us to say that you're not responsible at all. Just like the case of the Gemara of a roidef. If the person knows in advance that he's going to be responsible for damages, he goes, I'm not going to save this person's life. I have to take care of myself and my family. That svara is going to be extrapolated to apply to the case of Atzala as well. All right, we'll stop. Mm-hmm.